Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4. And as we read these next scriptures, ask yourself, how many trumpets does it talk about? Okay? 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Okay? I don't know about you, but I got one spot in my Bible that it just sticks together, and I can't get the pages apart. Okay. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. But I do not wish you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, when you die, that is likened to falling asleep, because God is going to resurrect you. That you be not grieved, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in exactly the same way also, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, when people read that, they think that they're all up in heaven. But this is a summary before he tells how they're going to get there with him. So, for this we say to you by the word of God, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall in no wise precede those who have fallen asleep. Because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of a command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpets of God. No, with the trumpet of God, and the dead shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds for the meeting with the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. How do we get to be with the Lord? By the resurrection. See? So if you just read verse 14 and take it out of context, which they do for the rapture, then everything becomes discombobulated. Okay, now then, let's see what else we have here in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 is a long chapter concerning the resurrection of the dead. Now, he also said in this chapter that some of them didn't have the knowledge of God. So here, he's straightening them out. And always remember this. The Jews searched everywhere for the body of Jesus Christ because they wanted to do everything that they could to declare him a hoax, but they couldn't find the body because he was resurrected and ascended to heaven. Now, everything that we do is based upon the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul says that if Christ is not raised, then there's no resurrection from the dead. And he makes that very clear. Then he says, verse 16, 1 Corinthians 15, for if the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. Okay, where then is the body? But if Christ has not been raised, your faith is in vain, and you are still in your sins. Now, you see, this is where a lot of people who believe in going to heaven get way off base. Always remember this. Even in Jesus' time, there were those that were casting out demons in Jesus' name. And James and John came to Jesus and said, Lord, we saw him casting out demons in your name, and we forbid them. He said, forbid them not, because those who are not against us are on our part. Which tells you this. Just because you are on Jesus' part does not mean you are with him. Or, we could put it another way, does not mean that they have the Spirit of God within them. See? Flesh is the same flesh. Okay, let's go forward here. Likewise, not all flesh is the same flesh. Rather, there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beast, another of fish, another of birds, and all the other creatures. there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is different, and the glory of the earthly is different. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. That's why the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man being joined together is important, because that is the seed that contains everything we will be when we're raised from the dead. And when we die, our spirit goes back to God. And it's stored right there. It says in Hebrews 11 that the spirits of just men made perfect. Okay? Then God puts that in another body. For us, spirit. But that is the code to recreate us. Just like a seed. It has everything from the parent plant. You put it in the ground and it grows up just like the parent plant, right? Yes. So that's how the resurrection is going to be. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Now what is that going to be like? It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. And whenever there's a funeral, this tells you the great weakness of human beings. They have no power over life and death. Now, they may be able to extend the number of years of their physical life if they take care of themselves, or reduce the number of years of their physical life if they disobey God and go do things that are wrong and are killed at an early age. Okay? But nevertheless, you have no power over life or death. God has that power. He has the power to raise us from the dead, or if we're still alive, to change us. Verse 44, it's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Well, we're with our body every day, aren't we? Yep. There is a natural body, there's a spiritual body. So what is the guarantee of the resurrection if we are faithful? Number one, that Christ is raised from the dead. Number two, he says he will raise it, which is his promise. Number three, our physical body that we have, he says we have a natural body and we will receive a spiritual body. So if you believe you have a natural body and conceal it and touch it and see it and everything like this, then God is going to give you a spiritual body if you're faithful unto him. Give you a spiritual mind. We won't have any of these forgetful spells that we have now. Okay? According as it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became an ever-living spirit. However, the spiritual was not first, but the natural. Then the spiritual. The first man is of the earth, made of the dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The one made of dust, as is that one, so also are all of those who are made of dust. As is the heavenly one, so also are all those who are heavenly. We'll be like Christ, because we'll see him like he is. As we born the image of the one made of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Where's the only place we have the last trumpet? Revelation 11, the resurrection. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. No more sadness, no more sorrow, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? And the next time you see a documentary on World War II, and you see all of those crosses, thousands and thousands and thousands of them. Think about all who have died in the wars. Just do this. Just do some channel surfing, and you will find that everything today is a fight. It's a war. Whether it's between human beings, male, female, whether it's between races, whether it's between nations, whether it's between governments. And then go to your Nat Geo, and they show you all of the animals. What do? They fight. Everything's fighting and warring. And then they show you about the insects. They're fighting and warring. They show you about the birds. They're fighting and warring. So this whole earth and everything in it has got to be changed. And the nature must be changed, and only God can do that. And we have been called to help him do that. All right? Now let's come to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Here's what God is going to do. This is really something. Okay? Now you can read all the first part of it, how that Paul called everything that he had in the flesh to gain Christ and the resurrection just a pile of dung. Okay? Now, let's pick it up here in verse 20. But for us, Philippians 3, verse 20, the commonwealth of God exists in heaven. He's going to bring it to the earth, from whence also we are waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform, because all of our genes and chromosomes with the Holy Spirit will be transformed, our vile bodies, that they may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the inner working of his own power, whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. Now, that is a fantastic thing. Now, let's come back here to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, okay? Now, let's pick it up in verse 12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Very interesting, you have to have both. Does it not take faith to keep the commandments of God? Yes, you have to believe God, right? Not true. Does it take any faith to not believe in God? Well, if you're an atheist, you have the reverse faith, but that isn't going to get you anything. See? Combined together. And I heard a voice from heaven say to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from this time forward. So this has to be right at the beginning of the tribulation. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labor and their works follow them. And I looked and behold, a white cloud. So what happens is this. We'll see it here in just a minute. Here is the second sun out there, the sign of the Son of Man, first phase of his coming. The second phase then is the harvest and the resurrection at the last Pentecost. Okay? So what has to happen? That sun at a particular time has to start streaking toward the earth. And then when it looks like it's getting close enough to hit the earth, it comes into the clouds and spreads out into a great sea of glass. That's the second phase of the coming of Christ, okay? Combined with the resurrection. Because if we're going to meet him in the air, what are we going to stand on, okay? Now, being on the sea of glass is going to be a tremendous and wonderful thing. All right? Let's read on here. Verse 14. And I looked, and I saw a white cloud, one like the Son of Man, sitting on the cloud, having a golden crown on his head, and he had in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, For the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. That is going to be quite a thing. Okay? This is the first resurrection. Now, right after that, then comes the beginning of the seven last plagues, which begins later. Okay? So let's come to chapter 15. Chapter 15. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and awesome. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is filled up. And I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had gotten victory over the beast. Now, how long has the beast been in existence? How long has he been in existence? Oh, ever since Satan rebelled. Okay? Revelation 12. It shows what? The great red dragon. Seven heads and ten horns. Right? Okay? So that's down through the history of mankind. How did he appear to Adam and Eve? As a serpent. A serpent is what? A beast. Is it not? Yeah, a crawling beast. Right? Okay. What do all the religions of the world say? Who gave them their knowledge and understanding? The serpent from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? Now, and over his image. Okay? Was the image of the beast just that which was in Revelation 13? Or did they have idols and statues of their gods and goddesses and serpents and things like this? Yes, indeed. And over his mark, now that's coming down to our time, and over the number of his name, so this includes all who have been faithful through all history, standing on the sea of glass, having the lyres of God. Now we're all going to sing. No more joyful noise. We're going to all be in tune. Okay? Now how are we going to learn how to play those? All right, let's ask another question. When Adam and Eve were created, did he put within them a working language? Yes. They could think, they could reason, they could talk. They could talk with God, talk with each other. You know, that's a good thing, right? Okay. Now, look at all of the thousands of years that are those who are going to be in the first resurrection. Very few before Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter. Okay? But still, nevertheless, there will be those. Then everyone from that time forward until the return of Christ and the second phase of his return, the resurrection and the sea of glass, from every country. Do we all have different languages? Yes, indeed. When we're resurrected, God will give us all one language with a spirit mind so we can talk, so God can communicate with us in his language. Okay? That's going to be a great thing. Now think all who are going to be on the sea of glass. Now this is going to be a great celebration. I mean, the next time, let's see, they have the basketball playoffs coming up now. And the one that wins, they all celebrate. They're all happy. Okay? Now, think what it's going to be like to be resurrected from the dead and changed from flesh to spirit. Huh? Think what that's going to be like. Think what it's going to be like to be able to fellowship with those who died before you did. Husbands, wives, children, etc. Yes. Think what it's going to be like to talk with the Apostle Paul. What it's going to be like to see and talk to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. What a thing that's going to be. And all the prophets. Daniel's going to be raised and he's going to say, "Hallelujah! I see how all these prophecies came to be." Okay? Now let's look at something back here in Isaiah 66. So hold your place because we'll come back here. Isaiah 66. Now as we're turning back there, remember what Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees. He told them that because they did not bring forth the fruits, that the kingdom would be taken from them and given to another nation. Remember that? Okay, Isaiah 66. That nation was not the church. Let's read on. We'll find it described here in Isaiah 66. Okay? Isaiah 66. Now, here it shows that not to make a temple, everything that you make it with, God has made. So what are you going to honor him with that for? Okay. Then he says, here, verse 5. Let's pick it up here. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Now that's us. Your brethren. Now that could be your relatives. That could be your children. That could be different ones in different churches of God or whatever. Okay? Who hated you. There are people who hate us because we keep the commandments of God. Who cast you out for my name's sake. And a lot of us had that happen exactly that way. How many here were disfellowshipped because you wanted to stand for the truth? Well, you could all raise your hand, right? Yes, indeed. They say, let the Lord be glorified, but he will appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A sound of noise from the city, a sound from the temple, the sound of the Lord repaying his enemies. Now notice verse 7. Before she travailed, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she was delivered. She delivered a man-child. That's Christ. Okay? But also, the church is what? The body of Christ. Correct? Yes. All right, now notice verse 8. This is incredible. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things like these? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Yes. That's the resurrection from the dead. Or will a nation be born at once? Yes. The first fruits. For as soon as Zion travailed, she gave birth to her children. So God says here, verse 9, will I bring to the birth and not cause to be born, says the Lord? Shall I cause them to be born and shut the womb, says the Lord? No, it's going to happen. All the suffering and pain and everything we go through in our life and difficulties to overcome and grow and change and develop the divine nature, develop the character of God, he wants that character developed in this life. So when we are changed, it will all be locked in. Verse 10, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all who mourn for her. Okay? That's what's going to happen. There's going to be the birth all at once, the first resurrection. That's why we're going to meet on the Sea of Glass. Now back to Revelation 15. Going to be a joyful time. Now then, we'll end up by looking at all of the things that is, or just mentioning rather, all of the things that will take place, have to take place on the Sea of Glass. And with so many people from so many different ages, all being resurrected at once, how long do you think it's going to take for us to be prepared to come back to the earth? From Pentecost to trumpets, okay? And God will fulfill the promise to every one of the saints, which is, you shall see the vengeance of the Lord. And we will view it firsthand, front row seats, looking down on the earth as the angels go about bringing the seven last plagues and then gathering the armies together. Okay? But before that, they are singing the song of Moses, verse 3, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb saying, Great and awesome are your works, Lord God Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you only are holy, and all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been revealed. Now, what is going to take place on the Sea of Glass? The very first thing that's going to happen, I believe we'll be able to see God the Father at that time. We're the children of the Father, aren't we? Don't you think he wants to see his children? Yes. So we have the ceremony. We're all gathered. We see God the Father. We worship him. Jesus stands right up front. It stands up, and we can see him, and we can see the Father. And he says to the Father, "Behold, the brethren that you have given me." Then we'll probably all say, "Amen." The angels will probably say, "Hallelujah." Okay? All right? Now then, he'll probably have angels help out with this. They have to give us our new name written in a stone. Okay? So, we're going to be renamed. Then, well, actually, before then, we got to receive our clothing. You know, we've got to be dressed for the occasion, right? Remember the parable, if you weren't dressed for the occasion? Okay? So we'll have all of our white robes. Now, what are those going to be made out of? How do you have spirit-based clothing that shines and glitters? I've often thought about this. Just project a little head, a little head. We're going to have a place in New Jerusalem, but that comes later from this. And I think an angel is going to take us to where we're going to live, because Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you and will receive you to myself." What's it going to be like when he opens the door to wherever we're going to be living? Okay? And he gives us a tour of what Jesus has made for us. And he says, "Oh, by the way, over here is your closet. And look at all these glittering clothes that you can wear for special occasions." Okay, so we have to be clothed. All right. Then there has to be a special ceremony. Various grades of crowns, right? We're going to have a crown of life. What's that going to be like? How long will that take? All right. Then we have to have a meeting so that we can prepare for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Prepare for the marriage of the Lamb. And then the supper. Just think what that is going to be like. Great banquet tables. Here's God the Father, here's Jesus Christ, here's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here's Elisha, here's Elijah, you know. And we're all there. And the angels are waiting on us. Now, I don't know what spirit wine will be like, but I bet it's going to be just absolutely marvelous. What kind of food are we going to eat? Well, the Israelites ate manna, and that was called angels' food. Okay? If there's a supper, there's food. If there's food, we're going to eat it. See? And if we eat it, there's going to be taste to it. Wonder what that's going to be like. See? I mean, this is going to be thrilling. See? This is something to really get excited about. And then the marriage takes place. Marriage supper takes place. Boy, what a joyous time that is going to be. All right? Well, we'll catch up to that when we get to the third phase. Okay? The third phase will be coming back to the earth, which means the last thing that we will be taught or its instructions given, what do we do, Lord, when we go back to the earth? Where do we go? And we're each going to be given a white horse, an angelic horse. Now, what is that going to be like? And then at that time, Jesus will say, "All right, follow me." So we'll end Pentecost with that. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.